Just to start off with, Representative, can you tell us what the purpose of this Budget Oversight Commission is?
So, Cameron, in the budget this year, there is a significant amount of money coming from the federal COVID-19, what's referred to as the CARES Act and the Cures Act and some others. So this commission will be undertaking looking at how those dollars are being spent, and we will have beginning in August, on August 15th, I believe, will be our first report. We'll get a monthly report from the Governor's Office of Budget and Management, how much money has come in, what it has been spent on, how much is still in reserve, and we'll get that report every month, and then every quarter, the governor himself will issue a report on what has been done as well. So we'll kind of have a two-tier look at it on a monthly basis and again on a quarterly basis.
But essentially, you're kind of overseeing the federal dollars that the governor is spending. Is that correct?
Absolutely, it's correct. These are all taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
And so we are just ensuring that, you know, there are a lot of guidelines that go along with these dollars and the states receiving them. And we want to make sure that those guidelines are being followed, because the last thing we want, Cameron, is for the taxpayers of Illinois to be on the hook for monies that were spent in a way that was not in accordance with the guidelines.
What would happen if you found out that money was not spent in accordance with the guidelines?
Well, I think, that decision wouldn't necessarily be up to us as members of the commission. That will be up to the federal government, because these funds will all be audited, of course. And we just want to be sure that, first of all, that they are going to the communities and the agencies that are in most need and are eligible to receive those funds. And also that we are not using them for things that are not COVID-19 related.
I know you haven't received one of those reports from the governor yet, but to this point, are you aware of any specific funding that the governor has enacted that you find inappropriate?
I'm not going to venture that's been happening, mm-hmm. But there was discussion, and I can tell you, it is not a partisan discussion by any stretch of the imagination. Our colleagues on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers have been saying all along that as a co-equal branch of government, we should be giving input into areas where we think that these dollars can do the most good and the communities that are in the most need. And we see that need certainly across the state. It's not just a need that's in one area of the state or one city in the state. Across the state, those dollars can be put to good use.
And the way I understood it, this committee is made up of 14 Democrats and 8 Republicans, and I'm assuming that figure came out because Democrats hold majorities in both chambers, but if that is correct, do you have any issues with that makeup?
Well, Cameron, I think there comes a point in time when you realize this is Illinois,
uh-huh.
And as often as we would like to think that we would get an equal voice, that's not always the case. But we have to at least be grateful that, number one, this commission was put in as part of the budget. And so, first of all, the fact that it was put in the budget is good news,
mm-hmm.
And the fact that we, as Republicans, have a seat at the table, I think, is also good news as well. And at the end of the day, I think that we should all be working together to be certain that the taxpayers of Illinois are their tax dollars are being accounted for appropriately.
Sure. But, you know, playing the cynical angle here, is it possible that, you know, all the Republicans on the commission could oppose a piece of spending and a majority of Democrats in the group could take the governor's side and just derail kind of any real bipartisan oversight? Is that a concern?
You know, if we go into it with that as a concern, it will probably derail us from the very beginning. But at the end of the day, we are going to have guidelines given from the federal government on how these dollars are to be spent. And regardless of your political party, I believe that you should have the taxpayers' best interest at heart in knowing that Illinois is not going to be in any kind of a financial position to be repaying billions and billions of dollars to the federal government. I mean, the fact that we're even borrowing $5 billion from the federal government for operations is astounding to me and deeply concerning. So all the more reason why we should all be on the same page and wanting to be certain that the dollars are not being spent inappropriately.
So is the commission more concerned with, I guess, is it a matter of what you think is appropriate to spend money on, or is it more just making sure that federal guidelines are being met?
I think that it will be twofold. It will certainly be, are the federal guidelines being met? But also, we will be looking at the transparency and are we seeing, are we accounting for all of the dollars, and can we see where they are going and what is being done with them in various communities across the state? So certainly it will be, are we following the guidelines, I think, is going to be foremost in our mind, but also giving more transparency to this process as well.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering a little bit about how you kind of weigh the two factors here. That two things seem pretty obvious. COVID-19 has created an unprecedented economic crisis, but also Illinois doesn't necessarily have funds to spend frivolously. So can you kind of talk about how you weigh what spending is necessary to give, you know, working people and businesses a lifeline versus what is just considered frivolous?
The grants are, the dollars are pretty specific on where they are going to be targeted. For example, in the CURES funding, most of those funds will go to grants for local health departments, for emergency management agency business. And then there are the business grants, and some of those are targeted specifically for Cook and the Collar counties, and then others are targeted for counties outside of Cook and the Collars. Some are for underserved communities, and some are for assistance with rent and mortgage. And then, of course, the mental health funding and substance abuse, there's all of that is of course included as well. And then we see some health care for medical assistance providers, ambulance providers, those types of things. So they are oftentimes specific, and we want to be sure. I think most, more than anything, we want to be certain that the dollars are not just going to one area of the state, but they are servicing everyone across the state.
And I also wanted to ask you, just to kind of somewhat change the subject, but now we're in phase four, the Restore Illinois plan, and kind of the way I understand it is we'll be in maybe phase four for perpetuity until possibly a vaccination or something. Do you know at this point what legislating in Springfield will look like for you and you know, legislative staff going forward? Have you gotten any guidelines on what that's going to look like?
We have not to this point, Cameron. I think much of the focus, certainly in the state and the legislature, has been focused on education and how what are schools going to look like in the fall, and how is that opening going to be handled. That, I believe, will give us a pretty good snapshot of what ongoing sessions will look like. We're not really scheduled back now to be in the legislative session until November for the veto session. So I think we'll have a pretty good idea, certainly, on what the course of the pandemic is at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But also take some notes on how it was handled with within the schools and our universities and community colleges.
Sure. And since you brought up education, we've been hearing from some local superintendents that they're a little frustrated that, you know, on so many issues there's so many mandates from the state, but they almost feel like on the back-to-school plan, they really haven't got much guidance. The state's kind of Board of Education has kind of told them there's going to be a lot of local control, local decisions, and this is one area where they say they would like a little state guidance. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, as a matter of fact, and I've been having meetings with certainly superintendents and principals and teachers themselves that they have a lot of concerns. And you know, it's oftentimes we say, well, there needs to be local control, there needs to be local control. And I agree, there should be. But, for example, as I said in a conversation yesterday, when State Board of Education is talking about desks need to be 6 feet apart and this and that and the other thing, number one, many of our schools, regardless of where you are in the state, don't have that space availability to be 6 feet apart. And many of the classrooms that I've had an opportunity to be in, they don't use a traditional desk setting. There may be a half a dozen beanbag chairs around. There may be some activity mats. It's a different look than just a room full of desks. So, you know, how do you handle a situation like that? And I think that it is appropriate that we allow our schools some level of local control, but I also think it's appropriate that there be a significant guidance from the State Board of Education on what they would suggest. And in addition to that, Cameron, you know, if we are going to require masks for students, which, you know, I just don't know how that's going to work. And particularly with our special education students.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also going to require a significant level of disinfecting on a regular basis. So where are these supplies going to come from? Who is going to pay for those? Because our school districts don't have that kind of money. And so, again, I think that's another area that, as a member of this commission, we can have a voice and say, okay, we need to be sure that our school districts have what they need if we're going to require them to be open in the fall. And there's so many challenges. There's one state that they're not using the high schools for their high school students. The high school students are going to do virtual online learning, but they're using the high schools to spread out the younger students. And that way they are also not challenged with how do the parents provide daycare if their students are only going to school, you know, 3 days a week. What do they do the other 2 days? They have to have daycare, and many families can't afford that. So I think that we need to do some considerable thinking outside of the box.
Okay. Well, before I let you go, is there anything else that you just generally feel like you'd like to draw citizens' attention to before I let you run?
Well, I just hope that everybody stays safe in the midst of all this, and we pray that we can get through this and move forward.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time and your insight, and, of course, stay safe out there.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Cameron.